Let's just quickly pray. Not quickly pray, let's pray. I don't know, quick about it at all. Father God, we just do thank you that we can again come under the sound of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the time that Sandy has put into the preparation so that, Lord, we can really know, Lord, of your holiness. And Father, we do pray that as you reveals what you've laid on his heart, Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive it. Our minds, Lord, will be, you'll take away the things that, Lord, have probably clouded our minds over this last week, that have filled them up, whether it be work, at home, wherever it may be. Lord, we do pray that we'll be open vessels, ready to receive, Lord, what you have for us. Bless us. Bless Andy, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see the front four rows still packed full of the youth or the young at heart. It's still January, so I can still go back and say how was 2016. In fact, it's not just still January. Actually, yesterday was the Lunar New Year. So it is, in fact, a new lunar year. And if there's any Chinese people here, Gong Hie Fa Choi to you. That means Happy New Year in Chinese. Look, when I look back at 2016, I had a fantastic year. I know everyone said it was a terrible year. I had a fantastic year. I got recognition at work that meant that I was able to go to Myanmar with Christine and spend time with our brothers and sisters in a church there. We'd saved up for a couple of years. We were able to go on holiday to the States, and we went to lots of different things, but some of the highlights were, again, going to churches in California and in Hawaii and spending time with our brothers and sisters overseas. You know, family's generally been pretty healthy. Everything's gone along absolutely fantastically. So if I look at my year in terms of that stuff, I can say, yeah, that was a good year. But I've been challenged in the last probably 2 months to look at the year in terms of my spirituality or my holiness and say, how have I progressed in 2016? How have I become more like Christ as I walk with him? And that's the challenge I have for you guys today. Hopefully this is going to work. It's the start of a new year. Come on. Is it on or off when it's up? There we go. How's your holiness going? It's a different kind of question, but it's a kind of strange question too to be asking you. What do you mean, how's my holiness going? What does that mean? But to put it another way, how did you grow in Christ-likeness over the last year? How's your growth? How's your spiritual walk going? Because the reality is, as God's people, we are actually called to be holy. And I'll show you some verses. I'm going to show you a lot of verses because I want you to see where I'm getting this stuff from. What have we got? 1 Peter 1:15-16. You might not be able to read that. It seemed a lot bigger when I was doing it on my screen at home. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy, because I am holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. 2 Timothy 1:9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because this was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And I've got a whole bunch more verses written down there that are really, again, really, really small. The scriptures are full of our call to holiness. It shouldn't come as any surprise to any of us that that is the case. So let me just pray for you before I go on from here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have a plan and you have called us to be a holy people, set apart for you. Father, I just pray as I speak now that your Holy Spirit is empowering my words and that the hearts of this congregation are open to hear what it is you have to say to them. I just ask that you keep me from saying things that are not within your will and that we stay firmly embedded in your word, because your word is truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a call to holiness. But what is holiness? What is it? What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean? So holiness is not primarily about what I do, although it does include that. But it's about my heart. Not just about the actions that I perform, not just about being a morally good person, but about the motivations behind those actions. And what does the scriptures say? Matthew 22, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. It's about an active relationship with God. As Alistair's been saying, we need to spend more time in prayer, really having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are set apart for him. And set apart basically means to be holy. I will be their God and they will be my people, it says in Ezekiel and in numerous other places throughout the word. And it is about us becoming like Christ. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I found a great definition for what is holiness in a book I'm reading at the moment by a guy called J.I. Packer. If you haven't read any of his books, I highly recommend him. His book is called Rediscovering Holiness, Know the Fullness of Life with God. He says this, holiness is always the saved sinner's response of gratitude for grace received. It's not so much about what we do, it is about our response to receiving such wonderful grace and love and mercy from our Lord. It's another little quote here. It's more about the process of becoming holy. I've paraphrased it. It's by Wayne Grudem. If you've read his systematic theology, no one probably has read his whole systematic theology. It's a very big book. But he says this, becoming holy is a journey that begins at our conversion, continues throughout our life, and is completed when we die for our souls, and then when Christ returns, our bodies are restored to fullness and holiness. It's a journey. We're never going to get there in this lifetime, but we should be working at it. We should be striving to do it. So I've been thinking about this, and I think there are three potential ways that we go about pursuing holiness or pursuing a walk with Christ. Three responses to this call for holiness. And I call the first one being. And this is the response of our culture. We sing it all the time. God accepts me as I am. Praise God for that truth. He does. He does. He takes us just as we are and he transforms our lives. But he does expect us to change. He does expect us to walk with him. He does expect us to take that sin and destroy it in places. And he does expect us to put some effort into it as well. If you read the New Testament at all, read Paul's letters, you can see that so clearly. I've termed this the response of our culture because essentially our culture today says, you can't tell me what to do, you can't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. To tell me that I have to change is intolerant and judgmental. I'm not going to have a bar of that, thank you very much. It's the rallying cry of our society today. To point out to someone that the life that they are living is not in accordance with God's word. In some places it's called hate speech nowadays. Unbelievably, to suggest that someone might be doing something wrong is intolerant and judgmental. And yet God does reveal in his word that some things are sinful and we should be actively doing something about them. And there's some verses here. Romans 6:1-2. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? And Paul's adamant, of course not. Since we've died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? How can we continue to go on sinning? Romans 8:12-13. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. We died to sin, Paul's already said. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And this is one of the things about our journey towards holiness. This is something that we work with God on. God does most of the work, but we do need to put some effort into it. We do need to work at it. We are dead to sin. How can we keep living in it? And notice, we should be, through the power of God's indwelling Spirit, actively putting to death sinful deeds. This is not a picture of passively sitting back, letting go and letting God. We are supposed to be hunting sin down and killing it.
So about 300 years ago, there was a real movement there amongst a group of people that were called the Puritans around mortifying sin, killing it, actively pursuing it. So that's the response of our culture, the response of just being, sitting back and doing very little because God accepts me as I am and I don't have to change because I'm forgiven. It's very tempting to do that. It's very tempting for us, even as we're tackling other aspects of our life, for a certain sin within us, we'll just keep that one off to the side. The problem is that when we do that, remember I said at the start, holiness is our relationship with God. Anything of sin that is in there comes between us and a strong relationship with God. Paul has some... Okay, next one. Getting ahead of myself. The next response is doing. This is my one. I love doing. I have to work hard. And sadly, so often it becomes not just about doing, but it's like I have to work hard to do something to earn my salvation. I have to do something to make God pleased with me. Whereas the Bible tells us, no. He loves me. He loves me. And there's nothing I can do that will make him love me more or make him love me less. So what does Paul say to the legalists? He's pretty harsh. If you read Galatians, you can see that he has some suggestions for people who encourage legalism within the church of Galatia that would be seen as quite brutal. I'm not going to read that verse, but I'm going to say this. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Even the very faith that saved us was given to us by God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Works isn't going to get us there. Yet we know that a person is made right with God, Paul says in Galatians, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we've obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Now the problem with legalism is it is such a temptation for us to feel like we need to do something to earn God's approval. And as people, we actually find it quite offensive that there is nothing that we can do to earn our own salvation. We want to be doing things. It's good to do things. As a ministry leader, I am absolutely challenged in this all the time. Is God's pleasure in me because of all the work that I do down at Anchor Kids? Is it? No. Is he happy that I'm doing it? Yes. Yes, absolutely he is. But at the same time, he's not going to love me any more or less because of that. And the other danger that I have is if I take that legalism to the next step is, I'm a leader in Anchor Kids. You guys need to show me some respect. Sorry, I hate to say it, but we get that in our hearts. We get that in our minds all the time. And I'm just being really honest with you here. Sometimes I get frustrated. Don't you guys know how hard I'm working down there? Aren't you looking at what I'm doing? So it all becomes about what I'm doing, not about who I am in Christ Jesus. And when I'm focused on what I'm doing, I'm not looking at him. And when I'm focused on what I'm doing, I'm not looking at you guys. I'm not looking at the great work you're doing and encouraging you and building you up. And if we're all looking at what we're doing and not looking at what everyone else is doing, then we're all sitting there going, no one's respecting me for what I'm doing. Vicious cycle. Vicious cycle. So Paul has some pretty harsh words, as I said, for those who get caught up in a legalistic lifestyle. And yet, it's also Paul who tells us that we need to be holy. He's calling us to holiness all the way through all of his letters. How does that work? Don't be legalistic about things, but you've got to be holy. There must be a third way. I hear you ask. Yes, there is, Daryl. Thanks for asking. And I call this living. And this is the response to grace. And this says, I am greatly and I am undeservedly loved. And in response to that love, I will strive to please my Heavenly Father in all things. Not to earn his love, but because of it. Not to earn his love, but because of it. When we understand that, how greatly loved we are, how amazing God's grace is for us. I mean, you know, really understand and appreciate it. Then we will want to remove sinful stuff from our lives because it's getting in the way of my relationship with a Father who loves me and who I love in return. And we don't feel that we have to earn anything because that love relationship is just there. It gets rid of all of the wrong motivations for doing things. We will strive to please him because he loves us and we love him, not because we want to earn his favor. And a huge chunk of Paul's writing is spent reminding us of God's love for us, what Christ has done for us, and who we are in Christ. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Colossians 2:6-7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Alistair's been talking about prayer, about us spending time with Christ, fixing our eyes on him, building and growing that relationship. This is the path to holiness. So let's just have a look at those three responses again. And just, I just want you to ask yourself a question. Am I being? Am I just not really actively trying to live the Christian life? Is there sin in my heart that I'm kind of ignoring, hoping that God doesn't notice it? I mean, perhaps you're going to look back at your life over the past year and say, spiritually, I don't think I've actually grown that much at all. Well, ask yourself these questions. Is there sin that I'm not dealing with? It's getting in the way of my relationship with God. Am I so busy doing that I've forgotten the joy that there is within Christ, the love that I have received from him undeservedly? What am I going to do about that? I'm going to challenge you, you know, to tackle those things. Unrepentant sin that's sitting there and festering. Or maybe we're keeping it as just a pet. You know, some people keep sin as a little pet. Have you ever seen that television program, When Pets Attack? Discovery Channel and stuff like that. So, you know, the guy who's got a tiger. Because in America, you can pretty much have anything as a pet. He's got a tiger in his house. And what a surprise. One day, the tiger killed him, bit his head off and chewed him to pieces. I don't understand. He was such a nice tiger. But a tiger is a predator. It's one of the top beasts in the food chain. You keep it as a pet, it will kill you one day, more likely than not. Or you're going to have to kill it. And that's kind of what sin's like sometimes. We keep it. It's our pet sin. I don't want to get rid of it. It makes me feel good. Have no mistake. It will kill you. It will hunt you down and kill you unless you kill it. How can I move from being or doing and get on with the task of living the new life in practice? So I've got some practical tips here. Holiness in practice. What are the things that we need to be doing? First one, Alice has already said it, pray. Pray with an open Bible. Make sure that conversation is two-way. Like Richard talked about the other day, you know, we so often get going and talking and asking and asking and asking and saying and saying and saying and saying, have you got something to say, Jesus? Sorry, I haven't got time for that. I've got to go now. Pray with an open Bible. Despite what you might think, generally, it's through the God's word that God speaks to us, right? We can have inner feelings in our hearts and we can think we've heard this in our prayer time and everything else, but we need to be validating that against what God says in his word. We need to be taking his word. If you're doing a Bible reading prayer plan, what I've been trying to do is to try and focus on certain pieces of the scripture and just keep that in my head all day. Just keep meditating on some of those words. Pray through the Psalms. Really, really good thing to do. We're doing a Bible reading plan this year that's got a Psalm every day and we just read through and pray through that psalm. This is how God speaks to us. If you think you can pray and not read the Bible at the same time, then the conversation will be extremely one-sided. Be connected with other Christians. Come to church. Be involved in home groups. Serve. How about that for a radical idea? Actually, serve alongside each other. Just as a little advert. While I'm here, just out the back, there's a chart for the Anchor Kids Ministries. We've got classes listed there and we've got positions and who's filling them. And there's big red question marks next to some of those positions. So I really encourage you, and we've been talking about it a lot, but we've got lots of question marks up there. We need people to come and serve with us. be prepared in your home groups or with other people that you're walking the Christian life with to be open about the struggles and the strains and the stresses that you're having as you walk with Christ. Find someone who you can be accountable to if you're struggling to put to death that sin that you've been dealing with over and over again over the years. Or was it Einstein that said that if you keep repeating the same thing over and over again, it's the and not getting the same results, the definition of insanity. You've got a sin that you need to deal with and you're just doing the same thing over and over again. Maybe it's time to change what you do. Find someone to connect with. And this one. Preach the gospel to yourself constantly. I think it was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who said this. It might have been Spurgeon. It might have been a number of very, very wise men in the past have said, as Christians, we need to remind ourselves on a daily basis of who we are in Christ. Remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. Remember that he rose from the grave. Remember that God loves you. Remember the hope that we have that Jesus is going to return one day and all of this will be like a bad dream. We're in the middle of the night at the moment, but the morning is coming and we are guaranteed to live a life of eternal joy and happiness with him if we trust in his name and believe in him. What an incentive to holiness. Christ is coming back one day. And while he will judge between the sinner and the saved, he will also look at us and look at our deeds. And there will be a judgment on even the saved. How well have you listened to my word? How well have you obeyed me? There are rich rewards in heaven. Paul talks about it all the time. I know we're not supposed to talk about the rewards that we might get for the things we do. We're not supposed to do it for that motivation. But Paul says, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Keep this in mind. He said, Jesus faced the cross for the reward he knew was coming for him. Let's keep that in mind as well. And this verse, Philippians 4, 8 to 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. What's Paul saying? Fix yourself. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Who are we supposed to be fixing our eyes and our minds on? Who are we supposed to be thinking about in light of what Paul's saying here? We fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We think about those things. I was looking at Facebook this week, and I was just thinking, if everyone had put as much effort into fixing a part of their lives or addressing some part of their lives, instead of focusing on what stupid thing Donald Trump has now put on Twitter, things would be a lot better in this world already. Don't you think? I mean, it's like, honestly, that guy, it's like shooting fish in a barrel at times, it really is. Then again, I have to admire him for some of the things that he's passed into law in the last week. So look, like I was saying, we turn our eyes upon Jesus. There's a hymn, oh, I've given it away already, there's a hymn, and I didn't actually know that it has verses. We sing the chorus all the time, but it has verses as well. Who knew? O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His words shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. And the chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our holiness, as J.I. Packer says, is our response, our grateful response for how greatly we have been loved and saved. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we remind ourselves every day of the greatness of our salvation and the great love that God has for us. This is the answer. This is the answer to our holiness. The end of the service, a little bit further on, we're actually going to sing a song called Jesus is Better. And I was just listening to the music team practicing it as I got here early, and it says that, in all my sorrows, Jesus is better. And then there's a prayer, make my heart believe it. In all my victories, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Than any comfort, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. More than all riches, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Our souls declaring, our song eternal, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. It's my prayer for us all today that we see him as most glorious, most beautiful, most to be admired, to be pursued in everything that we say and that we do. That our relationship with him becomes the priority in every step of our lives moving forward. That is the answer to how your holiness is going. That's how our holiness improves. And as we walk with him, God's faithful and true, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he promises that what he has begun, he will complete. We will one day be like him. Praise God for that. Thank you, guys.